reading from Mark 13, 32 through 37. Mark 13, 32. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when that time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who has left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to you all, watch.
Watch and pray.
Watch and pray, the Lord is coming, coming in the clouds of rain. Watch your robes in the cleansing fountain, watch, oh, watch and pray. Watch and pray, and watch and pray, oh, watch and pray, and everything, for you know not the hour when the Lord shall come.
Father in heaven, we come to you again, acknowledging that you are the one true and living God, a God who is so powerful that we can't even begin to comprehend the vastness of your creation, and yet a God that loves us so much that we can't comprehend that either. We are so very thankful, Father, that through your word we can get a small glimpse of your incredible power and your incredible love. We're thankful, Father, through your Son that we have a demonstration of your love. We're thankful for the life that he lived on this earth so that we have things to pattern ourselves after. We're thankful for the teachings that he has left behind that continue to teach us today. Most of all, Father, we're thankful that he was willing to allow himself to be put on that cross, to allow himself to be put to death, that through his blood being shed, our sins might be forgiven. We pray, Father, that as we recognize all the blessings in our life, that we would recognize that this is above and beyond all other blessings. Help us to remember the great price that had to be paid because of our sin, and help us to remember that we only have the hope of heaven because of your plan of salvation. And as we remember that, help us to keep that in our hearts and in our minds, so that as we walk this earth, we will conduct ourselves in the way that we should. We do recognize, Father, that we from time to time sin, and we pray that you would forgive us of those sins. Help us to be more aware of the temptations that are around us so that we can turn away from them. We are so very thankful, Father, for our congregation. We're thankful for our elders and our deacons. We pray that you would continue to be with them. We're thankful that Kent is working with us, and we pray that you continue to bless him and his efforts. We're thankful for the efforts that Clay has put forward for our service tonight, and we're thankful for all who are participating. We are so very blessed, Father, to be able to come together as a family to encourage one another and uplift one another, and we need this, and you know that we need this, and that's why you have us to come together as often as we do. We're so very thankful, Father, that we have each other to depend on. We pray, Father, that you would be with all of those who can't be with us today, for those who are spiritually sick and maybe just chose not to be here today. We pray that they might come to an understanding of how important it is to be with other Christians as often as they possibly can, to be here to worship you, to be able to study from your word so that we can all grow stronger together and grow stronger as individuals. We pray for those who can't be with us because of physical ailments, Father. We pray that you would bless them. We know that there are some who are going through procedures and in the hospital, those who are just dealing with common illnesses. And we pray, Father, your blessings upon all of them. And we pray that you would be with those who are taking care of them, that they might make the right decisions. We pray, Father, for Christians throughout the world. We know that there are many who are suffering and not even able to get the basic necessities for life. And we pray, Father, that whatever their needs are, that in some way they can be met. We pray for mankind all over the world, Father, for those who have not yet submitted to your will. We pray that they will see that the way that they're living does not hold any hope. And we pray, Father, that they would seek you out. And we pray that if we happen to be in contact with any of those who are seeking the truth, that we might say the right things that would help them to go in the right direction. Again, Father, we are so very thankful for all the blessings of life, and we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here tonight. We pray that the songs that we sing will encourage us and that they will be an acceptable worship to you. We pray, Father, that you would help each and every one of us to remember that we are to set an example to those around us, and that we are always going to be an example. It's just up to us whether that will be a positive one or a negative one. Help us to bear in mind that we can, through our actions, help lead someone to the truth, or we can drive them away. We pray, Father, that you continue to bless us, continue to look down on this service, and we pray that everything that we do here is pleasing and acceptable to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
I'll be reading for you James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And it reads, Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working.
Number 52 in the supplement. Oop, have I got the wrong one? That's all right. Number 59 in the regular book. I will pray. Number 59.
Father in the morning, unto thee I pray. Let the loving kindness see me through this day.
Reading Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17. That's Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17, and I'll be reading from the New King James. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice.
Let's everybody get their books out and sing number 52 in the supplement. Number 52, I believe in prayer. Number 52. Oh, so
sometimes it's hard to
Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15.
1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now let's turn to 673, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's go.
Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, let all see from the world.
Psalms 18, 1 through 3. I will love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies.
I will call upon the Lord. No.
I will call upon the Lord.
Blessed. you open up to Hebrews 4, we'll be reading verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need.
Let's sing number 83, In the Hour of Trial.
In the hour of trial, Jesus, be for me. Bless my grace, denial, I depart from thee. When thou seest me waver, with a
I'll be reading song from Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
One oh four, take my hand, precious Lord.
No, so me
when my way groweth drear, precious Lord.
Here my cry. reading Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 13. Be reading from the New King James Version. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is in your glory. We're going to sing 6969, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
I'll be reading Isaiah 41:13-14. For I, the Lord, your God, hold your right hand. It is who I say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. Fear not, you warm Jacob, you men of Israel. I am the one who help you, declare the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel.
679. Jesus, hold my hand. As
I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand, it is the price of Calvary. This will be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me to the best I can. For I need
I'd like to turn in your Bibles to Psalm from that good psalm. Had a great singing this evening. Appreciate Clay putting all that together and all those that have helped and made it so possible. Prayer is one of the most underused things that we fail to so often use in our lives. Somebody has described prayer as being pleading the promises of God, and God has promised so many things, and I guess in so many ways we always fail in giving due praise to God through prayer, that we can understand and know His will, because He answers prayer. God always says yes. He never says no, because any answer that He gives is always His will, and whatever He answers is always there for our good. Psalm 40, David is enduring trials and tribulations and trying to find faith to get through all of these things. And he says in verse 6, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." The difficulty of life so often is it is characterized by the challenges of life. And as we have talked about, prayer is one thing that, if you notice in verse 1, he talks about waiting patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. And that's why prayer is so important in our lives. But when we look at this psalm and we look at what David is saying here, is that obviously in the law of Moses that God required all of these sacrifices. Thousands upon thousands of animals were sacrificed, and God demanded that these animals be sacrificed. But the point that he makes is that it really wasn't about those sacrifices that saved man. It wasn't that they went out and took a lamb and killed it and spread its blood everywhere, because sacrifice and offering, he didn't really, that wasn't the point. All the burnt offerings and the sin offerings that were there. What God wanted in all these sacrifices was the heart of man. The animal sacrifices was something to show and the obedience that was there. But as Jesus will later say to the woman at the well, is that God wants people to worship him in spirit and truth. You can have all the right truth and have the wrong spirit. You can have the right spirit and wrong truth. But worship God is because we love him. It's really not about the fact that we go through the acts or we do the things. Why do we love God? And the question that he is asking here in Psalm 40 and verse 8 is, you know, how do I love God? Is it because his attributes so often result in a benefit to me personally? Do we look at God kind of like a vending machine? Put in my quarter, you know. And I get something, and so I go to God in prayer, and I say, okay, here's what I want, and you're going to give it to me. And, is it because that we're looking to have some personal benefit out of this, or is it because it is simply the fact that God is worthy to be loved? That we do all of this, we serve him, because we love him. I mean, do we love God for his sake, or do we really love God because of our... You know, it's a question that we have to ask sometimes, as to why do we pray? Why do we seek God's will? And I think an utterly honest appraisal of our hearts will often reveal that our seeking of God so often is because of what I want and what I need, certain blessings from God, rather than seeking God himself. Thomas Merton said, "They respect God as a master, but their heart does not belong to him. They are not really interested in him except in order to insure themselves against losing heaven or going to hell. In actual practice, their minds and hearts are taken up with their own ambitions and troubles and comforts and pleasures and all their worldly interests and anxieties and fears. God is only invited to enter this charmed circle to smooth out difficulties and dispense rewards." Do we love God simply because of God, of who he is? Or do we have a personal, well, I want God to bless me and give me what I want? which demeans the character of God, because our devotion and our love for him has got to be like Job. You remember when Satan came to God and they were having this conversation, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan sneered, I guess, when he said, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" I mean, that wasn't a fair question, because the truth was that Job's faithfulness reached far beyond the benefits that he had been receiving. He was a man who eschewed evil. He was a man who sacrificed for his children. But Job loved God because of who God was, not because he did all those sacrifices and things that was there. True love of God has to begin with a delight in his holiness. The reason that I love God is because he is a holy God. He is truth. He is righteousness. And when every other reason is stripped away, what Job said was exactly right. He loved God because God deserves to be loved. I don't know if you ever thought about the story of Job, that we know why these things happened to him. We know God allowed Satan to do what he did, and he lost his family, he lost his health and all of this, and then you have the whole conversation with his friends. But at the end of it, we know what happens is that God restores Job even more. And what I always find interesting about the book of Job is what is lost in that story, at least it's not said. At the end of the story, Job didn't stop one day and say, "Excuse me, Lord, can you explain to me what this was all about? Can you tell me what just happened?" And I think that the reason that maybe it's not found in there is because Job never asked that question. You think about all that he went through and you think about what he endured. I think I'd be wanting just to have some answers at the end of it and said, "Okay, God, thank you, but can..." Job, you know why I believe that Job did not ask that question? It didn't matter, because he was praising God and showing God's holiness and understanding that my love for God is that I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is in my heart, and I don't need to know those things. You know, can we imagine our plight if deciding whether to love us, that God is considering what he's going to do for us, and God stops for a moment, he says, "Now, wait a minute, what's in this for me?" Aren't we glad that God did not do that and say, "Well, you know, I'm sending my son, wonder what I want to get out of this." He didn't do any of that, because his love was the fact that he loved us because we are his creatures. We're his creation. We're his making. He loves us simply for our own sake. And we are to love him because he is our creator simply for his own sake. He's my maker. He's my savior. He's my God. You see, love's joy has to do with giving, not getting. I don't go to God to get things. I go to God because of who he is. And I love him because of what he has done and how he has done. And the moment our main focus shifts from the beloved to ourselves, true joy begins to disappear. I like what Thomas More said. "Give me, good Lord, a longing to be with you, not to avoid the calamities of this world, nor so much to attain the joys of heaven as simply for love of you." Is that not why when we read Ephesians chapter 2, we realize what God has done for us and how that we can stand in awe of his presence, that we who he made alive were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which we once walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved me, because of his great love with which he loved me, even when I was dead in trespasses. He's made me alive together with Christ, and by grace I have been saved, so that I could be raised up together and be sitting together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Love for God springs from our own, from His own excellence rather than from our need of Him. Why do we love God? Because He is so great. And He is so powerful. And He loved us enough to send His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have eternal life. Because Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." That's God's love. And when we do that, what we do is this. We say to God, "It's all yours." Not, "I'll give you a little bit." No, it's all yours. And to serve God demands one thing. I surrender all. Nothing left. Why? Because that's how much God loves me. If you're not a Christian, you have to surrender everything you've got to Jesus Christ. Take up your cross, follow Him. Are you willing to do that? To be baptized in Christ, to rise up in newness of life, to surrender your life to Him. Do that tonight as together we stand as we sing.
All to Jesus.
This time is set aside for the Lord's Supper. Again, we are reminded on the first day of the week we're to come together and remember Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, the torment and cruel treatment He received for sins that were not his, but was free willingly to do it for us. So let us pray.